Isn't 2 years too short a time to give Reaganomics a chance? What proposals do you and the Democrats in general, positive proposals, have that differ greatly from White House policies, policies that may be adopted by the Republicans or Democrats equally, such as your business and employment and tax incentive proposals?
I think the Reaganomics program, which has been in existence less than 2 years, has created a disaster in the shortest period of time in the history of the United States. It's very easy for President Reagan and John Chafee to blame everybody from Franklin Roosevelt to Harry Truman to John Kennedy for the problems that we have. They're unwilling to assume the slightest bit of responsibility. They're unwilling to concede that they made even one mistake. They both want us to stay the course. They both want us to be patient. I think the people of the state of Rhode Island are suffering too much. I think the course is too full of thickets for anybody to be willing to stay that course. I have a positive economic program, which the Providence Journal commented on its front page, a program which I think will go a long way toward creating jobs and creating an America which is meaningful for all of its citizens, not just some of them. First of all, I support a tough new trade policy. I want to be able to go into a market. I want to be able to go into a store and pick up something which says Made in America. And I think we need a program that's going to create reciprocity to provide for that. I think we should give tax breaks for companies that invest in people, not just companies that invest in machinery. I think the company should have tax incentives if they train human beings rather than discard them on some kind of an industrial scrap heap. I think we have to have an investment tax credit so that the longer a company stays in the state of Rhode Island, the greater the opportunity that company has to receive tax advantages, and the company has an economic incentive to remain in Rhode Island, not to close its plant, but to create and provide job opportunities for the people of this state.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Mr. Chafee, your response to that question.
As I pointed out, jobs has always been my concern, and thus, that's what I fought for when I was governor, that's what I've strived for as United States Senator. Particular programs, job retraining, so those workers who are abolished by changes in techniques will receive the skills they need for new jobs. We must bring the interest rates down so that, once again, home building, real estate sales will proceed, and automobile sales will increase. That means lowering the deficit. We must increase our exports, and as you know, I'm a leader in that field in increasing our exports. We must provide for new tools for our workers, and that means accelerated depreciation, which I have fought for. You're quite right that this recession didn't come about immediately. Let me quote by a United States Senator that Mr. Michelson had in to support his campaign. America, says Senator Kennedy, is sliding into the worst depression since the Great Depression. The real world of recession is wrecking our economy. 16,000 lumber workers in Oregon have lost their livelihood. When did he say all this? In May of 1980. Before this administration came to office. So it behooves us to move ahead with these programs that I pointed out so that we can do something about jobs in America.
Mr. Michelson?
Senator Chafee has done very little to help create jobs. Indeed, the trade policy which he promotes takes jobs away. We've got automobile manufacturers located in Europe making cars with European workers. They should be here in the United States producing those automobiles. Why are they there and not here? Because of the trade policies that Senator Chafee supports, whereby those countries will not permit us to ship our cars overseas. And so our factories locate there and have to hire people there and take jobs away from us here. Yes, and I think Senator Chafee has made a contribution to lowering interest rates, because the more people that are thrown out of work by the Reaganomics program, which he sponsored, which bears his name, the tax bill, which has his name on the top of it, as those people are thrown out of work, interest rates go down because nobody has any money to buy anything. You know, it was a cruel decision that the Republicans made. They wanted to fight inflation, and so they decided that people would be put out of work. That kind of cruelty is not consistent with my approaches to economic policies.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Second question now comes from Rhode Island League of Women Voters President Alta Smith. It is addressed to Senator Chafee. Mr. Michelson, you will then respond, and Senator Chafee will have 60 seconds of rebuttal.
Our foreign policy is perceived by many as being inconsistent. The government has imposed sanctions on companies providing materials for the Soviet pipeline and then announced the availability of more wheat for sale to Russia. This contradiction is difficult to comprehend. How is it affecting our relationship with our allies in Europe? And what is a logical resolution of this problem?
There's no question but what our foreign policy as regards to Europe is filled with many mistakes, starting back when the president first came to office and the tough talk that he gave in Europe concerning nuclear arms. That was inappropriate, it frightened our allies and did not help us. Furthermore, in connection with the pipeline, it's absolutely inconsistent for us to suggest that we should impose sanctions against our European allies and prohibit them from constructing the pipeline, as my opponent suggests, and yet us go ahead and sell wheat to Russia. We're not going to be successful in the imposition of those sanctions. It's ridiculous. It is poisoning our relationships with our allies. We should proceed to lift those sanctions and proceed with the wheat sales as we have already. What we have to do is lower the rhetoric and at the same time make every possible effort to have a nuclear arms agreement leading to a freeze. That's what has to be done. I have been a long supporter of the nuclear arms limitation agreements, starting with SALT I, which I approved of, and SALT II, which I went to Europe to observe in Geneva in the negotiations and supported, and was very disappointed that the Carter administration, for reasons it saw appropriate, did not submit that treaty for ratification. So let's move ahead with that agreement. Let's lower the nuclear rhetoric, and let's proceed to mend our relationships with our allies in Europe.
Same question, Mr. Michelson.
I suppose we could more appropriately describe the foreign policy as a non-policy, a policy of total inconsistencies, mixed signals, so the rest of the world never knows really what the United States believes in. It seems to me that an essential component of any program involving foreign policy is that it contain a human rights element. When the President of the United States decided to sell grain to Russia, Russia desperately needed that grain. The President of the United States expresses grave concern about the way the Polish people are being repressed, about the Solidarity people in prison. And yet no strings were attached to that sale of grain, no requirements that at the very least that repression of people behind the Iron Curtains be lessened a little bit. It seems to me again that in dealing with the Russians there's got to be something that you get in return. I think to simply give things and trade with the Russians with nothing being received in return does a disservice to the people in the rest of the world who are looking to the United States for its leadership in helping in some way ease their burdens. The pipeline, for example, could have been, if there had been a consistency between the grain program and between the pipeline, that too could have been used with strings attached. Slave labor will be building that pipeline. The United States can't be proud of that. John Chafee shouldn't be proud of that. He shouldn't be supporting that kind of a program. As far as the pipeline is concerned...
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Mr. Chafee, your 60-second rebuttal.
I believe that Senator Pell spoke very well on this subject yesterday when he pointed out which he supported the construction of the pipeline and the removing of the sanctions. He was right, and I agree with him. I think that it's a loser, it does not succeed. Sanctions in peacetime have never succeeded. The pipeline is going to be built. We ought to recognize it and stop promoting these conflict with our allies over that subject.
Let's move on now to the third panelist question in this first flight. It comes from Providence Journal political writer M. Charles Baxt. It is to be addressed first to Mr. Michelson, then Mr. Chafee.
You portray Senator Chafee as a captive of big business. After looking at your background and your main sources of campaign support, I would ask how Rhode Islanders can know that you won't be a captive of big labor. And specifically, can you tell us how, if anywhere, you differ with labor on issues?
First of all, I take great pride in the fact that the working people of the state of Rhode Island have confidence in me and that they support me. I take pride in the fact that their organizations have confidence in me and that they support me. My entire legislative career has been devoted to dealing with problems of the needs of the average American, the needs of working people. I have never been a spokesman in the legislature for big business. However, I'm not a captive of organized labor. Labor does not own me. The fact that labor makes a contribution to me does not mean that labor owns me any more than the Chase Manhattan Bank owns John Chafee if it makes a contribution to John Chafee. During my years in the legislature, I have sponsored legislation which labor did not approve of, but their respect for me remained because of their appreciation of my dedication and my commitment to all of the people of the state. I sponsored a bottle bill, and the labor people very much disliked that. I opposed the right to strike of school teachers. School teachers continued to support me. I think that you have to judge me by my entire career. There's nothing that I have ever done in my life that could cause anybody to conclude that anybody owns me, that I'm anybody's pocket, or that anybody can dictate to me.
Mr. Chafee?
I think it's terribly important that we send to the United States Senator a man who is independent, a man who's his own man, a man who will support an administration when he believes in it and will vote against it when he disapproves of it. When the Carter administration was in office, I voted for it many times. As a matter of fact, one year I voted for it more than just as much as Senator Pell did. Other times I voted against it. The people of Rhode Island know that John Chafee is an independent. He calls the shots as he sees them. He's not the captive of one group or another group. And that, it seems to me, is one of the reasons that I have had the confidence of the people of Rhode Island over so many years.
Mr. Michelson, you have 60 seconds of rebuttal.
The people of Rhode Island know that Julius Michelson is a Democrat, and the people of Rhode Island know that John Chafee is a Republican. When they go to vote on Election Day, his name will be under that label that says Republican. He's so much a Republican that he controls the Republican Party in the state of Rhode Island. Nothing happens in that party unless John Chafee says, okay, fix the party chairman, fix the candidates, then run for office. Indeed, he is Mr. Republican. He's not Mr. Independent. And the fact that he doesn't put his party affiliation on his literature in no way changes what his party affiliation is. I, too, am independent. I vote my conscience. When I think something is right, I vote for it. When I think something is wrong, I vote against it. A senator has to be judged by how a senator votes. Senator Chafee voted 83% of the time with Ronald Reagan on every important question which involves the budget and the taxes. That may not be a Reagan robot, but it's pretty close.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Fourth panelist question in the first flight of four comes from News Center 12's Ann Kellen. It will be addressed first to Senator Chafee.
Thank you. Governor Garrahy and other state representatives are airing concern of yesterday's announcement of plans to move up to 100 or more ships to the northwest and northeastern ports, including Newport. The governor is saying Newport and the area cannot handle that large number of Navy employees coming into the area, and they are worried of an economic boom and then a bust like in the 70s. Mr. Chafee, you strongly welcome that return of the Navy. Can you address the specific problems I just mentioned and ways you would handle the situation if the Navy were to return in large numbers?
I think we should welcome the suggestion of the return of the Navy to Newport. There have been no specifics on it. Under the figures they've given, obviously it won't rise to the levels it was before the Navy left Newport. What does it mean? It does not mean necessarily that there has to be a conflict between the Navy and tourism. Both can thrive and expand. They're not independently mutually exclusive. What we have to do is have adequate notice from the Navy as to how many ships they will bring, what the crew complements will be, what the school population will be, what the housing requirements are. For example, there is the Anchorage housing in Newport that can be readied and made set for the Navy personnel that comes. You heard that the superintendent of schools in Middletown said that they could accept the youngsters if there was an increased school population. Look at what it would mean to the state. Think of a Newport shipyard, for example, where they'd have more jobs as a result of overhaul and repairs. Think of Director's Shipyard. They're not going to be building these ships forever, these Coast Guard vessels, so I think we ought to welcome the chance for new industry, new jobs to Rhode Island through the return of the Navy.
Mr. Michelson?
There's no assurance that the Navy is coming to Rhode Island. There's only a possibility that this may be one of the ports in future years where the Navy will come here. I would think that John Chafee would welcome the return of the Navy. One day after he left the Secretary of the Navy, the final recommendation was made to move the Navy out of the state of Rhode Island. They couldn't wait. The day after he left was when the recommendation was made. It's curious to me that during the time that John Chafee served as the Secretary of the Navy, plans were underway, budgets were being changed, programs were being undertaken in order for the Navy to leave the state of Rhode Island, and the day after he leaves, that's when the Navy makes its final recommendation. That's got to be more than mere coincidence. Indeed, if Senator Chafee did not know that the Navy was leaving the state of Rhode Island, he could not have been performing his duties as Secretary of the Navy with great efficiency. And if he did know, then the people of the state of Rhode Island deserved more from him. They deserve to have him as the Secretary of the Navy stop that from happening.
Senator Chafee?
If that was an answer to your question, I'm surprised. He didn't shed any light on that. It seems to me that that's typical of this campaign. Attack, 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 nothing constructive, doesn't answer your question. Isn't that too bad? As a matter of fact, he came back with a falsehood. It's not true that any recommendation came the day after I left as Secretary of the Navy, and Mr. Michelson knows that. He's continually been leveling those type of charges during this campaign. The charge that I accepted money from an oil pack. What was it? Occidental Oil. No, it wasn't Occidental Oil. Of course, there was no gifts from Occidental Oil. He knew it, kept up the charge, and never apologized. I accepted oil money from Raytheon. Now, come on. We all know Raytheon's not an oil company, yet he persisted with that type of charge. I think it's time somebody blew the whistle around here on this type of talk.
Thank you, Senator Chafee. Well, if you liked the first half, we're going to come back with another round of panelist questions in just 60 seconds.
As a result of such exposure, would you support a worker's right to know law, and what kinds of regulations might it contain?
I've always supported workers' right to know laws. I supported them when I was in the legislature. Indeed, I've supported right to know laws for everybody, not just workers. When I was in the legislature for the state of Rhode Island, I sponsored right to know laws, open meeting laws. The first ones that ever passed in the state of Rhode Island were sponsored by me. Indeed, workers do have a right to know the dangers to which they're exposed, the risks which are attendant with their employment. The workers' compensation law, which I wrote, which was heralded all over the country, which even received editorial acclaim from the Providence Journal, notwithstanding the attack on that law by Senator Chafee, was a step in that direction. That law provided for employment for employees to obtain workers' compensation in cases of occupational injuries and occupational hazards, and it contained within it provisions whereby a worker could determine whether or not those occupational hazards indeed resulted in his disability.
Senator Chafee?
I have long been a supporter of right-to-know laws for workers so that they would know the kind of hazards that they would be encountering. As you recall, when an attempt was made to reduce the complement in the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Office here in Providence, I fought for it and managed to maintain that office at its full complement. As far as hazardous waste and toxic chemicals go, I have been a leader in that field in seeing that they have been cleaned up. As a matter of fact, I helped write the Superfund law, was one of the sponsors of it. And as a result of those efforts, and the result of my efforts on the Environment and Public Works Committee, we are having a cleanup of the hazardous waste dumps that affect not only workers, but innocent civilians who don't know what's going to be in their water table because of these hazardous waste dumps. And we have managed to obtain, again, effective results in the state of Rhode Island by receiving more money for cleanup in this state from the Superfund than any state in the nation except California and New York. Those are positive achievements that I have been able to do for the state of Rhode Island.
Mr. Michelson?
When I was in the Attorney General, I became aware of the problems connected with dumping. As Attorney General, I closed the dump in Coventry. I took the owners of that dump and of other hazardous waste places to court. I had a concern about the health hazards to the people of the state of Rhode Island.
I'd really like you to deal with workers in their companies and the kinds of things they do with rather than the dump situation.
I dealt with workers and their companies, but Senator Chafee in responding to what I said, talked about super funds and the environment and did not answer your question. I think that I have the same rights that he has, and I want to point out that my record with the environment is certainly as good as his, and that I too was concerned with hazardous waste dumps. And indeed, if we had not closed the Piccolo dump, then Senator Chafee would not have that had that opportunity to start worrying about Superfunds.
Let's move on. Question number two, M. Charles Baxt, Providence Journal political writer. His question first addressed to Senator Chafee, then to Mr. Michelson.
Senator, you portray yourself as a friend and protector of the elderly, but the National Council of Senior Citizens, as Mr. Michelson is fond of pointing out, Here's an ad he has. Mr. Michelson is fond of pointing out that the National Council gives you a zero rating. So what's the story here?
My record as a protector of the elderly and concern for the elderly doesn't start during some political campaign. It extends back as long as I've been in public life. When I was governor, I started the Medicare for the elderly citizens in Rhode Island, long before the federal government. It was just 20 years ago that we proposed that and fought for it in the General Assembly, and unfortunately, the Democratic legislature killed it for 2 years until finally we were able to have it passed. I fought to have the bus system taken over so it would be available for the elderly and provide services. And so, in the United States Senate, I have fought as a protector of Social Security. It was a $40 billion amendment that was proposed, a cut in Social Security, that I was the successful one in having defeated. And if you noticed in your newspaper today, the National Senior Citizens Group you refer to acknowledged that it was the Chafee effort that killed that $40 billion cut. So my record is firm and solid. I protect Social Security. No Social Security recipient will have his or her benefits cut. I am for the protection of that fund, and I want to assure that it's there for present retirees and for future retirees.
Mr. Michelson?
The National Council of Senior Citizens is neither a Republican or a Democratic organization. It has 14 million members. It has 400 chapters. It exists solely and exclusively to protect the rights of senior citizens, and it monitors the performance of the members of the Senate of the United States. It gave Senator Pell a 100% rating. He voted right every time in 1982. It gave Senator Chafee a zero rating. Nothing he says can change that. He voted precisely as the president wanted against senior citizens every single time. And as long as he's referring to the Providence Journal, on May 31, 1982, the Providence Journal reported that Senator Chafee had voted to cut $25 million from Social Security. Now, on September 1, the Providence Journal reported that if the commission appointed by the president to deal with changes in the Social Security system recommends changes, he, Senator Chafee, said that he will lead the charge to bring about those changes. What are those changes that they might recommend? The National Congressional Committee just sent a letter out yesterday. That letter suggested three changes and asked the people who gave contributions to tell which of those changes they preferred. One was to make Social Security voluntary. The other was to provide that people who retire have their retirement age delayed, possibly not being permitted to retire until age 68. John Chafee answered a question from Charles Baxter in the Providence Journal when that question first came up. And when he was first asked the question, he said he didn't know how he would vote on that. Today, now that the political contest is down to the final minutes, he tells us that he would not vote to delay those payments.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Your rebuttal, Senator Chafee?
Regretfully, my opponent has indulged in Halloween campaign tactics throughout this season. He's out to frighten every senior citizen out of their wits, and we've seen what's happened. The elderly are frightened because of what he insists on saying. There's no stronger supporter of Social Security. I have consistently said that the retirement benefits will be protected, that they'll be protected for those who choose to retire at 65, and of course there's no doubt whatsoever on that. I'd like to know where he gets these wild quotes. Of course, we have a little trouble understanding what he's saying, because one day he says one thing and then retracts it and says, I admit I was in error. So let's get the record straight. No Social Security recipient is going to have his or her retirement benefits reduced.
Next question comes from News Center 12's Ann Kellen. It is to be addressed to Mr. Michelson first, then responded by Senator Chafee.
Well, with the debate almost over, and people may not, still not, be undecided on who they'll vote for, Mr. Michelson, why should we vote out a Republican who at least has some pull with the Republican administration to negotiate programs for us here in Rhode Island?
Problem is that John Chafee not only has some pull, he's part and parcel of it. Fingerprints are all over it. He sponsored the Reaganomics tax program. That's one of the reasons why we should vote him out, because that program is not good for the people of the state of Rhode Island. If five more Democrats are elected to the Senate of the United States, the Reaganomics program will be totally derailed. The Democrats will have a majority. Democratic committee chairman will replace Republican committee chairman, and this country will begin back on a road which respects people, on a road which creates jobs
on a road of decency and dignity. That's why we should vote out a Republican, because he is a Republican and because he votes with the Republican president. We need somebody in there who will stand up to the president, and hopefully if we elect enough Democrats, and that seems like a very likely prospect, then we will be operating the Senate of the United States.
Senator Chafee?
There's no question but what I have been an effective producer for the state of Rhode Island in the United States Senate. How did we manage to resolve the dispute, settle the dispute at the electric vote? That's the largest private employer in the state of Rhode Island now, and I managed to do that because I got in there and pitched and worked hard. Why are we obtaining Section 8 housing? Why is the Bridgham School now going to be a housing for the elderly? How about the West Broadway project in Newport? How about the Sparrows Point 3 in Warwick, housing for the elderly? All of these have come about because I've gotten in there and fought, have tugged and pushed for the people of the state of Rhode Island. I'm running as myself, as a person who can best serve the people of this state. I'm not running under some banner of somebody else. I'm not saying to the public, sweep me in, please vote the master lever, like Mr. Michelson does. I'm willing to stand on my own 2 feet and go before the people and say, this is the kind of person that served you well for 6 years and seeks your support for another 6 years.
Mr. Michelson, you have 60 seconds.
I think the people have to judge a senator by how that senator votes. Indeed, that's what a senator does. A senator who votes to decontrol the natural gas so that consumers who already pay the highest cost any place in the nation are going to have their gas rates raised. Indeed, they've gone up almost 300% since Senator Chafee cast that vote. Only three senators of all the New England states were willing to vote with the Texas and Louisiana and Oklahoma gas producers. There was no reason to decontrol natural gas. We want industry in Rhode Island to be competitive in what it pays for energy. We want consumers to be able to afford the energy that they pay. I've got a long record of protecting and fighting for consumer interests. I think one of the main reasons that Senator Chafee does not deserve to be returned to office is because of the particular votes which he's cast, which are not consistent with and in the best interests of the people of the state of Rhode Island.
Let's go to the fourth and final panelist question of this formal WEAN debate. The question comes from WEAN's morning anchor, Dave Fallon, and it will be addressed first to Senator Chafee, to be answered second by Mr. Michelson.
Senator, in a recent interview, you say no one's done more to try and end the Brown and Sharpe strike as you have. That statement was made a week or so ago. My question is, what have you been doing about the strike in the past few days since that statement was made? Also, is the strike hurting Rhode Island's chances to attract new business? And can we get any lessons for industry and labor in the future from this?
No public figure has done more to try and resolve the strike at Brown and Sharpe than I have. It was I who brought the federal mediator into that situation. I proposed the letter after talking with him that was signed by Governor Garrahy and Senator Pell to the federal mediator asking him to intervene. As a result of that, he invited both parties down to Washington to sit down. With Senator Pell and Governor Garrahy, I wrote a letter to both the parties, urging them to accept the invitation. Both parties came to Washington. It was not successful. They did not resolve the dispute. Subsequent to that, along with Senator Pell and Governor Garrahy and others, I wrote a letter to the federal mediator and said, follow up with every opportunity that you might have to try and resolve this dispute. Unfortunately, it is not being resolved. How is it affecting Rhode Island? It's hard to tell. I think it's an indication that labor relations in the state are not the smoothest. One of the factors that's obviously influencing the strike is the fact that there's no business for the machine tool business. Orders are flat. It's an extremely cyclical business and is way down. And until it revives, the hopes for the industry, for that company and others, is difficult to predict.
Mr. Michelson?
I have no way of knowing how hard John Chafee has worked to resolve the controversy at Brown and Sharpe. I don't deny that he has written letters. I think that with reference to the labor relations climate in the state of Rhode Island, it seems to me that at a time of recession, when so many people are out of work, that what we should be working for is accommodation rather than confrontation. I think that the time has come for all parties to sit down and settle their disputes and settle them on a reasonable basis. And Brown and Sharp is no exception to that rule.
Senator Chafee?
Certainly much has to be done in the state of Rhode Island to try and resolve labor-management relations. It's unfortunate that Mr. Michelson's mentor, the president of the state AFL-CIO, says he'll have no connection whatsoever with trying to resolve future disputes in the state. It's too bad that Mr. Michelson doesn't speak to his mentor, as it were, the president of the state AFL-CIO, and tell him, look, we've got to bring this state along. We can't have this confrontation politics. Everybody's got to get together. It isn't enough to sit here and say, we've got to sit down. Have his man help get everybody to sit down.
Well, there's the second round. As we mentioned earlier on when we started the debate this evening between the two Senate candidates, we're very pleased to have Channel 12 join. And then we will have audience questions, which many of you responded to here in the live audience. That will take us through the formal part of the radio debate and the radio portion. Let's start things off with closing statements now. 4 minutes, first from Senator Chafee, and then 4 minutes from Mr. Michelson.
Thank you. Tuesday, you elect a senator to serve you for the next 6 years. We don't know what the problems will arise during that time. So we seek that person with a proven record, with experience, someone we know and someone we trust. That is what this election is all about. It has nothing to do with fighting. It has nothing to do with who's president. The question of the campaign is, have you been well served by John Chafee in the United States Senate? You and I have been together for many years. You know my record. It is one of accomplishment. It is one of honesty. It is one of telling you the truth, even though that proved costly to me politically. It is a record of service to you and to your families, to our state, and to our nation. Let me mention some of the critical areas that I will devote myself to in the next 6 years. First, jobs. 10% unemployment is intolerable. Although world conditions affect our economy, there are things we must do in the United States to help ourselves. We must provide our workers the skills they need to obtain jobs, and that is why I have supported vocational education and worker retraining. We must give our workers the best possible tools so they can compete, and that is why I have supported laws to do that. We must stress exports, and as you know, I am a leader in that field. Look at the jobs I have brought to Rhode Island. Construction workers on the federal building going up in Providence. Electric Boat this month announced it will be hiring 300 more workers, bringing their total force to over 5,000 at Quonset. Minor Industries in Bristol, over 100 employees. Providence Industrial Development, 1,000 jobs will be created. 1,800 jobs saved in Woonsocket by eliminating federal sewage charges, and the list rolls on. Second, education. In this complex world, the best possible education is essential. You know my record as governor in establishing the junior college, now the community college system, and starting our state vocational schools, expanding our university, our college, our state scholarships. As senator, I voted for the Department of Education, fought for increased funds for elementary and secondary education, for college tuition, grants, and loans for those who needed them, and ensured that graduate students will continue to receive financial assistance. Education is not an expense, it's an investment for the future. Third, the environment. My concerns and efforts will continue there. Fourth, care for the elderly. You know of my interest and effectiveness in this area. From founding Medicare as governor to bringing senior citizens housing to Rhode Island as a senator. Meals for seniors. Writing the expanded IRA, the individual retirement account law, so workers can set aside some money tax deductible and have it for their retirement. Fighting that foolish tax of all, inflation. All of this I have done. Social Security has no stronger protector in the United States Senate than John Chafee. It was John Chafee who fought the $40 billion cuts when they were proposed. I led the successful effort to kill such a move. My pledge to you is to preserve the Social Security Fund for you so it will be there when present retirees and future retirees need it. I shall vigorously oppose, as I have in the past, people any cuts in retirement benefits. People who paid in are entitled to get their benefits. Finally, we must continue our efforts to end this nuclear arms race. Let us reach a mutual, verifiable freeze soon. Unless we do, the chances always increase of a possible miscalculation that could end human life on this planet. This is a brief outline of some of the things I shall do in the next 6 years. You know me. You know my record. I ask for your support next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Chafee. Now a formative closing statement from Mr. Michelson.
There are many differences between John Chafee and me. One difference, and it makes a big difference, is that John Chafee is a Republican and that I'm a Democrat. That's a very large difference. John Chafee has a responsibility to his president. John Chafee has a responsibility to his party, and indeed he's been loyal. 83% of the time on issues which affect our pocketbook and our human services, John Chafee has gone right down the line with President Ronald Reagan. President Reagan tells us to stay the course, to be patient. John Chafee tells us to stay the course, to be patient. President Reagan blames Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and John Kennedy and everybody else for the problems in our nation. John Chafee blames everybody. Everybody but his president, everybody but himself. I don't think that the people want to be patient. I don't think the people are going to buy that argument. During this entire political campaign, not one suggestion has been forthcoming from John Chafee as to what he would do different. What would he change? He would continue to support the Reagan program. He would continue to stay the course. He says he works hard for the people of the state of Rhode Island. He put in a great deal of effort for multinational corporations which do nothing for the people of the state of Rhode Island. He received an award from a big organization in Washington, a national business organization, as a result of it. He introduced a law and got it passed which permits people to work overseas, encourages their employers to locate their factories overseas. They can earn up to $90,000 a year and not have to pay one nickel in income tax. That law of John Chafee's cost the Treasury $544 million. And then, as if that wasn't enough, to continue his support for the multinationals, he introduced the so-called Greece Amendment. He says that helps trade. I can't imagine how it helps trade to give a tax deduction to a company that pays a bribe in order to get business done in a foreign country. That costs $30 million. That $574 million could better be used for programs for people in this state of Rhode Island. John Chafee says Raytheon is not an oil company. Raytheon is not an oil company, but Raytheon is very much involved in exploration. And Raytheon, if you will read Standard & Poor's, indeed does have an interest, and the Congressional Quarterly of the United States of America lists Raytheon as a company involved in oil. And so while it doesn't have the name oil company, it did give a contribution to you, Senator, and indeed it is involved in oil, and nothing you say can change that. He says that he supports Social Security. He voted to cut $25 million from Social Security, and that's in the Providence Journal. He voted to take away the odd change. If a person gets $200.89 in Social Security, John Chafee voted for them to lose the 89 cents. The National Council on Senior Citizens is not involved in my campaign. The National Council on Senior Citizens gave him a zero rating. They said he did not once vote to support older Americans in the year 1982. How can he stand here now and say that he consistently votes to protect people on Social Security? Yes, the elderly are afraid. They're afraid because John Chafee has put the fear of God in them. He's frightened them by his vote. He's frightened them by his statements. He's frightened them by his support for President Reagan. This is an important election. 1982 is a referendum, not only on the programs of President Reagan, but on the votes of John Chafee to support those programs. If Ronald Reagan gets his Republicans back in Washington, then he will know that he has a mandate from the people of the state of Rhode Island, and John Chafee will be there helping him carry out that mandate, and then I think we all better watch out.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson.
In 326, if you're calling.
A remarkable, I think, success ratio with a segment which the League and the radio station has pieced together Audience questions. Unfortunately, television is cutting away or will momentarily be cutting away, so they will not get a chance to hear it. But once we finish the audience segment, the listenership of WEAN Radio is being encouraged to participate in a speaker.